Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 309, the four stanzas. The Lord who has remembered us, His blessing will bestow. All those who fear His holy name, His loving care shall know. And what follows, Psalter 309, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 10, the verses 1 through 8. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, and nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 10, the first 8 verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do." And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Henry and Chelsea DeCock, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl on Monday and could return home from the hospital in the day of yesterday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then how good and how faithful thou hast been unto us and our children in the past week, and also in this morning hour, when thou was granted that the doors of thy house have been opened, we and our children were privileged to enter those doors, and we may place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Then thou was graciously watched over us in the home, on the way, at work, at school, wherever we were called to be. Then thou yet maketh a great difference with so many who have been ushered into eternity in the past week. Many in hospitals, other places, many countries, where the people cannot freely go up. And our Lord, what maketh us and our children to differ? Who maketh us to differ? And that is thee alone, because it is written in thy word that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our Lord, when we place all thy mercies over against all of our sins and our unthankfulness, then should it not be a wonder that thou bestow so much upon us, Lord? Then it is thy work to make the wonder truly a wonder. May that take place in this morning hour. A broken and a humble heart, and the prayer of the publican, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, do bless thy word in this hour, for the conversion of sinners, for the uncovering of false foundations, and for the instruction, the comfort, the encouragement, the edification, but also the correction for thy children. And then in this morning hour, not only the audible gospel hopes to be proclaimed, but also the visible gospel, the sacrament of holy baptism administered in the midst of the congregation. O Lord, wilt thou remember these fathers and mothers, where thou wast blessed them in their married life by the first time, but also by renewal with the birth of a little child. Wilt thou grant those humble and broken hearts, that be wonderment and Lord, not only gladness, but by thy grace to grant that thankfulness, the solemnest of old has declared, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And now in this morning hour, then these parents, they may present their little ones in a special way before thee, unto thee, to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant and thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads. O Lord, may it please thee. Oh, it is a privilege and a blessing when our names may be enrolled in the visible church, but our names need to be written in the book of the Lamb. To that end, we humbly beg of thee, wilt thou do for these little children what is signified in the sacrament, and that is as poor sinners to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may it please thee by thy grace to take early possession of their little hearts when they come to years of discretion, that it may become evident that they have chosen thee for their God, thy word for their rule, thy people for their companions, needing thy Son to be their Redeemer, thy Spirit to be their Sanctifier, and at last to receive heaven as their home. O Lord, these parents, they have been the instruments to bring these little children into being. May they also be the means used by the application of thy Holy Spirit for their second birth. Oh, may it please thee to grant that oftentimes, as parents have done when thou hast dwelt upon the earth, where we read that they have brought those children to Jesus with that vehement desire that he would lay their hands upon them and bless them. Lord, work mightily, lovingly, and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. We live in a serious time. The temptations are manifold. Wilt thou remember these fathers and mothers with their oath, which they hope to make, Lord? Thou knowest how they have risen in this morning hour, how they have come up to thy house, whether they have opened up their heart and told thee insufficient of themselves, but that vehement desire to live as a separate people and to instruct their children in the fear of the Lord. Because, O Lord, it is written in thy word of the children of Israel that there were those that have flattered thee with their lips and lied unto thee with their tongues, because their heart was not right with God. Neither were they steadfast in the covenant. And to that end wilt thou grant unto the family circles, O, that place around thy holy word, on their knees, beseeching thee for a rich measure of thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. The family circles all stand in need of the same thing, father and mother and all the children, because it is written in thy holy word, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, O Lord. Then it is written in thy word, after the day of Pentecost, that thou wast daily added unto the church such as should be saved. Wilt thou then do it in this day? And may the sacrament be used for the strengthening of the faith of thy people, that they may be given to behold that precious blood of the Lamb of God that cleanses from all their sin. Lord, we commend unto thee grandparents, great-grandparents. Grant them a broken and a humble heart under thy mercies and under thy goodness, but also with increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou gladden those parents in due time with thy deeds? Then thou wast granted in the past week that thou wast blessed the father and mother by renewal in their married life with the birth of a little daughter, called upon to remain in the hospital with concerns. But in the day of yesterday, they were privileged to take their precious little gift home, O Lord. Grant what they cannot give unto themselves, and that is a broken and a humble heart. May it be a daughter of many prayers. May it be a little daughter for thee. We commend unto thee grandparents and great-grandparents with their increased blessing and responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones, all the sick and afflicted ones. A father has undergone back surgery in the past week, and thou wast blessed the means where thou wast given remarkable improvement, O Lord. Wilt thou grant unto him and his dear wife a broken and a humble heart under thy mercies? Wilt thou grant further healing and further strengthening, and that this calling, then thou wast spoken in a special way, may it be sanctified by the work of thy Holy Spirit for the saving of souls. Remember all who are under the physician's care. And now, Lord, we humbly beg of thee for thy gracious help in the administration of word and sacrament, and that the service, the outgoing thereof, may be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy great and worthy name. We ask it in the full and free remission of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. We shall now read the form for the administration of holy baptism. which you can find on page 126 in the back of the Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, in so much that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loath and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, as so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion. That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church. Let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. We now ask the parents to arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. that it may then be manifest that you were thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of His church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of this congregation? Father Richard the Cook, Mother the Cook, Father Hank Clock, Mother Clock, Father Ronald Coyman, Mother Coyman, Father Andrew Mounts, Mother Mounts, Father Darren Niels, Mother Niels, Father Sean Slingelant, Mother Slingelant, Father Koos van Garderen, Mother van Garderen, Father Jonathan Vandenberg, Mother Vandenberg, Father Scott Vandenbroek, Mother Vandenbroek, Mother Jason Vandenbroek, and Mother Vandenbroek. Fathers and mothers, it is a special morning in your life. It has pleased the Lord in the time that lies behind to bless you with the birth of a little child. For the first time in married life and by renewal. And I hope that in this hour that the Lord may grant profound impressions of His goodness. It's not something we can give ourselves. Under the greatest mercies and the greatest blessings, oh, it is a privilege when there may be gladness, but now that true thankfulness, that is a gift from above. And now in this morning hour, then you may present your child before the Lord in a special way to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant and the thrice holy name of a triune God upon their little foreheads. Then the Lord yet makes a great difference with most of the people upon the face of the earth, where the Lord is willing to separate our children under the external administration of the covenant of grace, and that is for the purpose of all purposes. that is for the ingathering of a chosen church. Parents, I hope that that has been your prayer when you were expecting a child, and also the prayer after their birth. And now the sacrament, profound instructions. We have heard it. The water tells us that we and our children are unclean. Job 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? But the water declares more, parents, declares the multitude of God's mercies, the work of a triune God. That water that points to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the sacrament, not only the possibility, but the sacrament declares the sureness that there is a church to be gathered that shall continue till the last one is gathered in. And may the prayers be multiplied to that end. And now, the Lord uses means to gather in His church. He gathers His church by word and by spirit. It's true. There have been little children. Has that been your prayer, parents? That the Lord may take early possession of their little heart. That when they come to years of discretion, that it shall be evident that they truly fear the Lord. And now as parents, you have become stewards. Stewardship for a time. Stewards that must give an account. And to that end, may you be given to instruct your dear children by speaking, by example, and by prayer. Then, parents, you have made a solemn oath. And how have you come up to God's house? We read in John 1, verse 22, that the leaders have come to John the Baptist, and they have asked him, "What sayest thou of thyself? How is it now in your heart before an all-knowing God? Can we say, Lord, thou who knowest all things, ah, thou knowest, insufficient of ourselves, but it is my vehement desire that with thy help that I may instruct these children in the things of the Lord by a godly example, not compromising with the world, a separate people with our eyes upon thee." Then we could ask that question in different ways. What thinketh your family? What thinketh the congregation? What thinketh the world? Can they see that we are a separate people, that God's word is our rule? And then above all things, what about the Lord? Oh, parents, the Lord grant you with your families a place around His holy word, on your knees, begging the Lord for the wonders of free and sovereign grace. Oh, we have heard it. May that be for encouragement. Cornelius and all his family, oh, they are rejoicing before the throne, all fearing the Lord. The Lord grant that blessing. You may be seated, parents. Grandparents and great-grandparents, I read of a Job in Job 23, verse 16, "For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me." Has that been the case with the birth concerning your seed, humbled under the goodness and the mercies of the Lord? And when in this morning hour, so far that it is possible, other older ones listening along, that you may witness of your seed receiving the sacrament of holy baptism. There are many prodigal sons and daughters that have went astray. But then Job has also said, "The Almighty troubleth me." Oh, grandparents and great-grandparents, are there those troubles? Have you, by God's grace, experienced the trouble about your sin and about that separation and the need for that precious blood? But are there also those burdens? We live in a solemn and serious time where Satan has but a short time. And then when there are additions to the family circle, souls traveling to a never-ending eternity, souls that need to be saved, may it please the Lord to grant more of those burdens and of those trials and the exercise of faith, that the Lord may work from generation to generation. And then for siblings, also a very special hour when you may see a brother or sister being baptized. Then you must think to your own life, and not only for siblings, but for all of us, that we are a God-bearer, and that the Lord is jealous of us on our congregation, fathers and mothers. Then by renewal, then we have heard the questions that you have answered. And how is it now with that promise? Is there also performance with the help of the Lord? Then we may also ask you, what sayest thou of thyself concerning the instruction, concerning the word of God, concerning being a God-bearer? What saith our family? What saith the world? And above all, what saith the Lord? Oh, the need that we may be much in our knees, begging for the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ has instituted also the sacrament of holy baptism for the strengthening of the faith of his people. And then we have heard it out of the form that it witnesses precious things. And then we have heard of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Ghost. May it please the Lord. And that is for sinners. Oh, are there sinners in my midst that cannot live without the Lord and that need the pardoning, the application of the blood? May it please the Lord by his almighty grace to use the sacrament to that end, that it may be applied by the Holy Ghost, so be it. While the children are being brought in, we ask the congregation to sing of Psalter 419, the second stanza. "A mighty stream of fault transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows, Psalter 419, the second stanza. Everly Kate, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Benjamin Jared, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Riley Hendrick, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Hannah Ellen, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Adeline Rita, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Abroad, Ishan, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Elise Jenny, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Judah Martin, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Chantel Jane, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Dawson William, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing of Psalter 425, the fifth stanza. Let us close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son Jesus Christ together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. Psalter 115, the first five stanzas. O come, my people, to my law. Attentively give ear, with willing heart and teachable, the words of wisdom hear. And today the extra collection is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 215, the first five stanzas. And this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 10, the first four verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. Our text words speak of Cornelius the centurion and his household. First, his godliness. Secondly, his family worship. And thirdly, his anxious inquiry. Cornelius the centurion and his household. And then first, his godliness. Beloved congregation, in this chapter, Acts 10, then we may see the wonderful works of God's free and sovereign grace declared. Cornelius, we read in the first verse, he was a centurion of the Italian band. It is remarkable that in the scriptures we find different heathen centurions under the Roman government that were converted, that feared the Lord. Oh, think of that centurion in Luke 5 with a sickly dead servant and sent to Jesus. But when Jesus has come, then he has sent a messenger, Lord, I am not worthy that thou wouldest come under my roof. That is a blessed place to be, parents. And yet, the centurion has said, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion at the foot of the cross, truly, certainly, a righteous man, the Son of God. In Acts 27, when Paul was on his trip to Rome, we read of Julian, a centurion, that was favorably disposed towards Paul. And now in this chapter, we have a centurion of the Italian band. Then, boys and girls, then a centurion that was a Roman soldier that was placed over 100 soldiers, and those bands have been placed in the land of Israel because the Jewish people, they were a rowdy people and they could not subject themselves under the Romans, and therefore those soldiers, they were stationed in different cities to keep the Jewish people under control. Then we must understand that such a soldier did not begin as a centurion. It's also instruction for our youth that we do not begin at the top, but we begin at the bottom. And then the centurion, he was set over 100 soldiers. He was stationed in the city of Caesarea. That was a trade and city port on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Called the Italian band, then undoubtedly, then he with the soldiers have come from that faraway Italy, approximately 2,200 kilometers from Jerusalem. And then we see the wonderful works of the Lord, that from eternity he has not only chosen his people, but also decreed how his church shall be gathered in by word and by spirit. That centurion. In Italy, he was not brought up under the truth like you are. I hope, parents, that oftentimes you may speak to your children of those special blessings that we are separated from most of the people of the earth under the external administration of the covenant, and that for a special purpose. It's for the ingathering of his church. May you be much on your knees to that end. And now the wonderful works of the Lord. Then that centurion Cornelius, come from Italy, come to the promised land with a purpose set by the government. And now it has pleased the Lord, because the Lord either brings his chosen church to the means, or he brings the means to that people. And then evidently, because we read of Cornelius, that he was a devout man and that he feared the Lord. It was not the testimony of Cornelius, but that is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Then undoubtedly, then Cornelius with his family, when he was stationed in that city, that he has attended the Jewish synagogue. And in the synagogue, there the word of God was read, was explained. Although much was hidden for the Old Testament, also concerning the promises, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then undoubtedly, the Lord by his Spirit has used the word of God for his conversion. The wonderful works of the Lord. He was a centurion, undoubtedly a busy life, and what a trouble that can give when the Lord starts to work by his Spirit. And then when the church does not live a life as they should, not so close to God's word, world conformity, and then especially when one even comes from outside of the church, then how the devil can use it to trouble and plague them, how can it all be? Nevertheless, Cornelius, because when the Lord works, he was an outsider, but then we become so jealous of God's people, the same as a Ruth. And then we have a desire to cast in our lot with that people. And then we set our face Zionwards. And now it is simply recorded that Cornelius, a few words, a devout man, and one that feared the Lord. Of course, there were more in that city. Who else lived in that city congregation? May that be encouragement for the family circles. This morning we have Cornelius with all his household. Do you ask for it, parents, or is that too great? If not deserved it, Lord, not obligated to take one step outside of himself, but may you be given to ask great things, if it may please the Lord, for the salvation of your families. And then we also read in the scriptures that in that city there was Philip, and that had four daughters that prophesied, that were converted unto the Lord. A devout man, and one that feared the Lord. And that is not a slavish fear, still a blessing. When there may be impressions of the truth, one may keep us from going into the world and sinful ways. Great privilege also when fathers and mothers, as we become older, that we keep a tender conscience. Profound impressions that the Lord is speaking to us through His Word, and the desire that our children may walk in the ways of the Lord, not in the ways of the world, and begging the Lord that the instruction may be used for their conversion. The Lord has promised in Isaiah 55 verse 11 that it shall not return void unto him, and that the Lord shall work from generation to generation. But that is that filial fear. That is that childlike fear. The life of boys and girls, when it is right, when they love their parents, then they shall do their best not to grieve them. Then they shall try to obey them to make them happy. Also young people, and when they do something wrong and they see that it grieves father and mother, that is even worse than to be disciplined and punished. And that is now that childlike fear which the King by His Spirit works in the heart of His people. That profound reverence, afraid to sin, obedience, prayer, and the need to receive pardoning. Secondly, his family worship. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Oh, what a blessing. Then undoubtedly, is not all written, but we read in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when Cornelius was converted, we went to the synagogue. What do you think he has done, fathers and mothers? Oh, then surely he has taken his family along, that they may hear the word of the living God. It is true, Cornelius had to be led further. That would take place in this chapter, would use Peter. But then Cornelius, then he has taken his family along. And what a privilege, a devout man, one that feared God with all his family. And then it is so needful in our family circles, family worship, that we take the time, and there are many enemies in our time, parents, for family worship. Oh, we live in a time that the enmity against family life, that is greatly increasing. Satan has but a short time and the devil with all the powers of hell is trying to erase the two roses left out of paradise, and that is the Lord's Day, and that is marriage. And in our day, what a despising and what a trampling there is of the seventh commandment. Think of all the divorces, and slowly but surely, then we would say we need to be immunized. And how is that? That we have a close life with the Word of God. We live in a day where sin is not seen as sin anymore, but there are more enemies of family life. And the family life, we read in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Those family circles must begin in our homes. They must be little churches. But now concerning those enemies, the busyness of life costs a lot to raise a family circle. And then let us mention the love of materialism, luxury, and pleasure. And then the technology. Then what a blessing that the Lord in His wisdom and goodness has given one day in seven, that is the Lord's Day, that we may rest from our labors, and insofar that it is possible, of course, when our children become older, there are also works of mercy and necessity that need to be done, but that especially on the Lord's Day, that we take the time to speak to our children together, read God's Word, sound religious books, that we speak to one another, sing and pray, but also that we take time during the week that we speak to our children. All parents have but a short time. Most of your families are younger families. If you talk to older parents, they shall tell you it was a busy time, how mothers can be overwhelmed with their children, father with the daily bread. Not so easy for fathers to divide it all up. But then older parents, maybe your parents will tell you it was a very busy time. Not so easy sometime to make ends meet. Then also a blessing. One way bring us on our knees that we may need a raven of the Lord, but they shall tell they were nice times. Much opportunity to speak to our children and then parents. Then it is so needful when our children are young that with God's help we need the Lord's blessing. But that we form that bond with our children round about God's holy word prayerfully. And then with the Lord's blessing, when they may become older, that your children shall still come to father and mother with their questions and with their difficulties. And then we read of Cornelius and his family gave much alms to the people. That's the Jewish people. That rebellious people. But when the Lord works, then we become jealous of that people. Oh, in the beginning, then especially when we are young, then we see them as a holy people, although they complain of that wretched man. And out of respect, we do not come against, but we do not believe him. Then we learn what a sinner we are ourselves. And then we receive a love for that people And we read in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And pray to God always. Does not mean boys and girls, that he always had folded hands, stayed at times, and they are not the worst time congregation. When during our work, the factory, the field, the truck, in the kitchen, while we are doing our work, that we send prayers up to the Lord, that he may be our helper, our guide, and above all, our Savior. Thirdly, his anxious inquiry. Then Cornelius has received a special visitor, a special visit. It was an angel of the Lord. It was the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. In Acts 3, verse 1, called the hour of prayer, when the evening sacrifices were brought, and then it is clear that Cornelius had a special burden, because it was a day that was set apart, because in verse 30 of this chapter, I was fasting until this hour. And in Mark 9, verse 29, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Thus Cornelius was given to humble himself, and the Lord has heard his prayer, and he was called by name. What a blessing that is, when we may hear our name also in God's house. And then we read of Cornelius, and when he looked on him, he was afraid. Why was Cornelius now afraid? We read in the scripture so often, when a heavenly messenger came that reflected something of heaven, the glory of heaven, then sinful children of men, they became very afraid. Think of the vision of Isaiah in Isaiah 6. Thus that profound reverence for a messenger from heaven. And what else? Where is the first time that we read that word afraid in the Bible? That is in Genesis 3. After Adam has taken that forbidden fruit, he has hidden himself and was afraid. And when something of the glory and majesty of God appears, then we receive profound impressions, a glorious testimony. But if we had now asked Cornelius, how is it now with your family worship and with your prayers? Oh, then he would say, so many shortcomings with God's help. I try to instruct my dear children, but also my household, it is outside of paradise. Many obstacles, although the Lord shall grant us help. And with your prayers, Cornelius, then he would say, he would tell of those times when the matter was bound upon the heart, when as a beggar he was given to storm the throne of grace and wrestle a little for the coming of Christ's kingdom and for the glory of his name. But many sins, he was afraid, and then he asked, What is it, Lord? Is there a special sin that I'm not aware of? But also further instruction. Because, Lord, I am so ignorant. The synagogue I may hear of that great God, but there are so many mysteries that I do not understand. It is true, Christ richly portrayed, but I am so ignorant and I am still so restless. Lord, I need the pardoning of my sins. Lord, what is it? What a fitting question for fathers and mothers. Also in this morning, when you've seen the water sprinkled upon the forehead of your little child, what is it, Lord? Wilt thou teach me by thy Spirit the need and the riches what is portrayed in the sprinkling of that water, the work of a triune God, and that black and poor sinners, oh, there is such an abundance, because I read in Hebrews 7 through 25 that he saveth to the uttermost. But also, what is it, Lord? What I have answered those three questions was my oath. Wilt thou bind the depth thereof upon my heart, that I may not leave thy house and think I have done my duty according to what is commanded in God's word? But that may remain a question, what is it, Lord? And then in the family circle, when you open God's word, then we need to be instructed. Lord, what is it? May understand thy word rightly. May it be applied by thy Holy Spirit, that I may be as a Cornelius and his family, that tender fear of the Lord, separated from the world, not halting upon two opinions, but given to follow hard after thee by thy grace, and that I may receive the riches declared in the sacrament of baptism. And then we read that the angel is answered, and he said unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God, not to merit, but they have risen to the Lord as sweet incense, where the Lord was given to behold his own work. Thy prayers are come up before the Lord. What is the most important in your prayers, fathers and mothers? Temporal needs are manifold. But is it your never dying and the souls of your dear children? And then Cornelius, he was given to hearken what the angel has instructed. And then he has sent two devout servants to go for Peter. Ah, the wonderful things of the Lord. Cornelius, a visit, instruction, and a Peter, a vision, and then with the words, three men seek thee. And then Cornelius has gathered his friends, close acquaintances together, and oh, then Peter was given to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ as the way to the Father through the work of the Holy Spirit. Fathers and mothers, may you be given to ask of the Lord great things. continue to ask, what is it, Lord? And to remember what we read in 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, we have heard of such wonderful things out of thy holy word, of our Cornelius and of his household, that they were given by thy free and sovereign grace to fear the Lord, to worship thee, to walk in thy ways. And then Cornelius has received such a wonderful visit. Ah, Lord, do remember these fathers and mothers. Ah, grant them with their family a special place at thy throne of grace, and do for them what is signified in the sacrament. Watch over us in this day. Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 271, the three stanzas, of mercy and of justice, my thankful song shall be. O Lord, in joyful praises, my song shall rise to thee. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a midweek preparatory service this coming Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 271, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.